I have to start by saying I know, at least I know how old you are, Alexei. I saw it on Wikipedia, if that's to be trusted.
Yeah, well, mentally we are both 12 years old. That's when we first met.
That's what I wanted to go for. Where you were 12.
Yes, we were 12 when we met, and biologically we are improved, like a detergent. But
in fact, you smell a little of detergent.
Well, yes, but nice laundry detergent. But
have we started already?
I'm rolling. Yeah.
Oh, he's wow. Yes. Maybe we say our names. What do you say?
We just did. He said, what are your names?
Well, but together we are Igudesman and Jew.
Let's do it together then.
Together we are Igudesman and Jew. And we're playing tonight at the something.
You don't even know where we're playing. Why are you even doing this?
I know where we're playing. No, it's Arizona.
You're so lucky that he can edit.
Mesa Arts Center.
Yeah, Mesa Arts Center.
Mesa Arts
tonight
Center.
At a certain time. And if you're not there at that time, then you've missed the concert. And that time is
7:30.
Excellent. Thank you. I knew that.
You see, you're very nice, Sterling.
This gets to another point that I
don't help him out anymore. It's like, you know, you're going to show up for work.
I'm just going to play background music while you.
Yeah, you
goof
you
off.
Do background music, and I'll be goofy. Yeah.
All right then.
Yes.
But that does speak to the idea of you guys have got to be just jet lagged. The twins who are jet lagged.
Yes, we are jet lagged, and it's part of the curse and blessing of being on the road. And of course, we're very fortunate to be, especially in America, so much. We just came from New York, so this part of the jet lag is not so bad. It's a 3-hour difference.
We've just performed in the Tillis Center in New York, but earlier this year, that was very exciting. We played with the New York Philharmonic
for the New Year's concert,
and it was our show, Igudesman and Jew, big nightmare music.
Which is not what we're going to do tonight.
Tonight is going to be little nightmare music.
It's a bit smaller because it's little.
Yeah.
It's smaller because it's just the two of
us. But, you know, it's only because of the size.
That's right.
That's the only difference, really.
Yeah. When did you come up with the idea of having one you could do with a bigger band, that you could get together with an orchestra?
Well,
we had this idea and we were kind of riff-raffing, and I said, yeah, and then, Alexa, you can play the trumpet, and then I could play the flute, and then we realized we don't play the trumpet and the flute.
Yeah, and
so
then we said,
thought,
yeah.
Well, probably we need to find people who do play that, and then so we thought, oh, why don't we get an orchestra?
And then we said, hey, lots
of trumpets, lots of flutes.
Yeah, and then we said, hey, why not New York Philharmonic? And they said, yeah, and that's...
They play the trumpet and the flute.
Everything. They played so many instruments.
Yes.
Really special. No, but seriously, it's... It was, of course, a big honor to work with them, and we've worked with wonderful orchestras like Chicago Symphony Orchestra and Los Angeles Philharmonic. End of the year, we're playing with the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. But the amazing thing, really, is that they are open and willing to do all the madness that we like to bring on stage, because we mix music, classical music, but all different types of music with comedy and theater, which is maybe not the most typical thing to do. In the concert hall, and we get all the orchestras to dance, to sing, to laugh, to cry while playing.
I have to say, it's some of the best video I've ever seen is when you're with Gidon Kremer and Kremer out of Baltica.
Oh,
and
thank you.
The man is, I mean, first of all, it's brilliant.
Thank
but
you
when
very
you
much.
Can get that man to break and start to crack up, the YouTube has to be feeding your career just insanely. I look, you've got like 28 million hits or something, right?
Yes. Since you've talked, it's already 35 since the beginning of the interview.
That's amazing that it just went from 28 to 35.
Well, it's a very popular radio show. It's a very popular.
Yes, well, I mean, YouTube, we owe a lot to YouTube. There's no question about it. YouTube put us on the map. And it was a very strange phenomenon because we had a career without having a career. People would recognize us on the streets or in planes or very strange places. And they wouldn't even be musicians. They'd be, I don't know, studying mathematics in Wisconsin or whatever. It's just really very random. And say, hey, wait a minute, I know you guys. You're the guys on YouTube. You must be playing everywhere. And we weren't. Mm. It's just that we were playing everywhere on people's computer screens. So
I'm going to provide just strange random sounds. Just
so it was a very weird and wonderful place to be. But of course, YouTube brought us attention, and when people are asking like on this radio show, they're listening to us wondering, okay, who are these weird guys? Well, the best is just watch us on YouTube and you'll see we're not as weird as we actually are. And we're seriously classically trained, and music is very important for us. And one of the reasons why we do this show, or let's say one of the byproducts of what we do, is that it turns a lot of people onto music and classical music, and especially the younger generation who might normally not go to a concert hall.
I got to tell you, you cost me a fistful of cash this week, because I was sent the YouTube links, and I immediately sent them to my kids, and they all wanted to go. So I've got 7 tickets for tomorrow night. So thanks a lot, you guys.
I'm sorry.
Wow. Thank you very much. The moral is, don't have so many kids.
Well, I think. No, they're all married now, so it's them and their spouse.
Okay. Well, that is actually a really nice thing that happened with our show, A Little Nightmare Music, is a lot of kids got to see it on YouTube, and we have a very strange mix of fans. We really have people from the age of 8 to 88, and sometimes older. No, but seriously, we have all generation and all types of people as well coming to a concert. People who've never even, you know, heard of classical music. Okay, they've heard of it maybe, but they wouldn't know where to place Mozart. Except for that he's Australian. No, seriously, I mean, and it's amazing.
Wolfgang, our truth, mate. I got a little Mozart.
And basically, we have this quadraphonic laughing in the concert hall. So you have kids laughing at certain silly goofball jokes that we might do, and other places where maybe it's a little more intellectual. You've got, you know, the classical music lovers guffawing, kind of. That's how they laugh, people who like classical music.
Is that onomatopoeic? Guffaw.
Guffaw.
Is it onomatopoeic? It could be, right?
Guffaw. It is now.
Because you kind of guffaw.
Onomatopoeic.
Onomatopoeic.
See, you lost me. He's one of the younger audience members. When I first saw you guys and heard you guys, I thought, you're doing two things that are both difficult, and you're doing them brilliantly. One is music. Even, you know, we in the classical music sphere, sometimes popular musicians get belittled, but there's great talent in the popular side. There's great talent in the classical side. You bridge those worlds, but then you throw in this thing called comedy, which is like terrifying.
Well, it shouldn't be. If it's terrifying, if you think comedy is terrifying for you, maybe it's not the right thing for you to do. I don't know. This is just what I'm thinking.
Wow, but I mean, you know, that's simplifying a lot. Because let's be honest, yes. I mean, performing is terrifying for a lot of us, and on some level, it's terrifying for us too. But we've kind of managed to quell our ghosts, and
we love the terror.
I mean, the terror kind of turns us on.
We kind of try to transport the terror to the public.
That's why it's called A Little nightmare music.
Yes, it's a really terrifying, terrific show. Really,
I'm a generation older than you guys, I think. So I grew up with people like Flanders and Swan.
Flanders and Swan are geniuses. Fantastic.
Victor Borge
also,
and genius. Then Peter Schickley, PDQ Bach. So that's a pretty big tradition, and you've picked up and not missed a beat. And the ability though to do sight gags, watching the Riverdance shtick, I'm thinking, how do you do that? You know, he's coming after you with a broom.
Yes.
You keep playing, and you're doing the two of you are dancing. It's just nuts.
You know, that's based on reality. I mean, like a lot of our show is really based on things that really happen in life or in the concert hall. That's a typical scenario of someone who wants to practice or play and another person that needs to clean. And how can these two exist? Because they coexist, because they both disturb each other. I mean, the violence is in the way of the person who wants to clean, and the noise from the cleaning is bothering the violence. So
it's a philosophical question, really.
It is
How can cleaning and practice, an instrumental practice, coexist? It's a fundamentally very difficult question, which we managed to solve on stage, I believe. Through the power of dance. Through the power of dance.
The answer to the question, which came first, the vacuum or the violin bow? It disappears into the...
Yes, exactly.
Where do your ideas come from? You say you've known each other since you were 12. Were you the class clowns, or did you discover that the other was funny, or did you just mystically become funny along the way?
Yeah, exactly. All three.
To be honest with you, we never sat down with the intention of trying to be funny. We never said, okay, let's write a show now that's going to be funny. We, for us, it was a creative process, right? I mean, we were always interested in how we can incorporate other elements into music and music performance. And it's not making fun of music, it's having fun with music. And that's a very important distinction for us. And we are musicians first, and then second, whatever, comedians and theatricalicians or whatever you would call it.
Theatricalicians.
Theatricalicians.
You call it actors, I think.
Oh, yeah, really? Thespians, whatever. But
hey, listen, you can't say that on radio.
Oh, you can't? Okay. But the music always comes first for us, and it's never with the intention of being funny. Of course, we know that a lot of the things are funny, and there is that something at the back of our heads, but we're never saying, okay, now let's write something that's going to make people laugh. We just do things which make us laugh. We find funny situations like what we talked about, like the violence that needs to practice and the clean that needs to clean. Okay, well, this is already a situation, but it's real. A lot of it's based on reality, and I guess the best comedy is reality.
May I just say that I just made a selfie of us sitting here in the studio, and which, of course, on radio doesn't really work, but I just wanted the listeners to know that there is an Igudisman and Jew selfie.
Which we will post before the show.
Yes, we'll, exactly.
So now there'll be 37 million hits, right? Before
at least.
When I watch Where is the Remote Control, which is part of the big show.
Where is the remote control?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. The sketch called Where is the Remote Control.
That's when you do with that's the big show, when you do with the orchestras, right?
Actually, that is part of a show which we did with Gidon Kremer, but it's something we haven't done for many years. It will come in our next orchestral show. But we do many, many wonderful things with orchestras, which that is not yet a part of.
When I watched that one, because it is on YouTube.
It is, yes.
That one, more than any other, at least for me, said, This is all about timing. I mean, if you mess up, you're counting on a lot of musicians sitting with music stands trying to keep up. And no, you're directing the traffic, but you got to be on time. I thought, why did you stay up late? How do I terrorize myself tomorrow? I know.
Yeah, but you know what? All of music and all of humor is about timing. Actually, I would even go as far as to say life is about timing, and it really is. But you know what the beautiful thing is? You know, of course, one can screw up, so to speak, or get it wrong, but we are really not afraid of that, and it's a very important, very big point for us, which we're trying to say kind of deep down with our shows and everything we do.
Also our educational program.
Exactly.
We have an educational program called 8 to 88, and one of the things we try to encourage and inspire students, anybody that participates in it, is that, you know, mistakes are important, they're good, they're necessary. We live in an environment, especially as a musician, but where we're just taught to be so perfect and not make a mistake. And first of all, that's an impossibility. And without making a quote-unquote mistake, you can't grow. So
you have to get it wrong to get it right,
yeah.
In a way. And in fact, you have to get it wrong many, many times in order to get it right.
And we all have the experience of going to a concert and there's wrong notes hit.
And that's,
but the performance is absolutely stellar. We grew up in a time when you edit that later, and then when they started digitizing all the recordings I grew up with, all those analog recordings, and you started hearing all the, there's another edit. There's 37 edits in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, and it's entirely unnecessary, because the mistakes are not just a part of it, they're an integral part of it. And very often in our show, in A Little Nightmare Music, we make mistakes, and those mistakes actually make it to the show. So a lot of the times the mistakes are even funnier than the original. And even in the if one goes to a like very straight classical music concert, very often one can find a lot of people asleep. Unfortunately, the music is beautiful, but sometimes it's just, you know, people tend to sleep.
So we sleep during the show as
We do as well. As well, when there's suddenly something goes wrong, it's a mistake. Somebody plays not just a wrong note, but, you know, maybe it's a light bulb bursts, or you know, the lights go out, or something happens.
String,
you know,
breaks.
Exactly. A phone goes off. Suddenly, everybody looks around. What's happening? And suddenly, their attention is there in the concert hall. Mm. And actually, we think it's very positive. When something goes wrong, so to speak, it's something very positive and something to be embraced. Same thing in life. When things don't go quite smoothly or according to plan, this is when we as humans grow.
You mentioned earlier the fact that young people are there. You play Beethoven's Fifth for kids. Very often, they don't know what it is. They don't know who wrote it. They have no idea what that thing is. Mm. The universality of what you do, though, you take the Turkish March, and it was genius. Not only is it funny, but I'd never thought to listen to that piece that way. Let's make it a B flat. Let's play it minor. Wow, how cool is that?
Yes, that's a good example. Our version of Mozart's Alla Turca, which we like to call Alla Malta Turca, is a good example of how you don't need to know anything about music to appreciate. You don't even need to know anything about the terminology. You don't need to know what minor is, major, what a B flat is, because you hear me saying, hey, can we play it in major? And then as soon as we play it, everybody, unless they are completely tone deaf, will hear the difference that, oh, this is a much happier and brighter version. And then when we add the B flat, everybody will hear, ooh, it sounds now a bit more Eastern, Oriental, and so everybody can get that. And this is where the byproduct comes, which is that those people who previously did not know or had some little knowledge will have their knowledge strengthened by, they'll start to know terms like minor, major, and B flat. So it's, and our material is actually being used educationally in schools. We meet teachers and students all the time that say, hey, you know, we were studying you last week, or our teacher was showing us your videos and we were analyzing them. And so, I mean, that's I guess, one of the biggest compliments we could get.
That is so cool that the kids could become aware that way. And if it's comedy, then it is cool. It's kind of uncool if it's Mozart. We don't say that. You say it's this Turkish thing.
But as a good Osmanlı Jew, we are always trying to say Mozart is cool.
Are you so busy now that you don't have careers apart from each other? Is a good Osmanlı Jew what you're doing now, or do you still have other things you do?
We love working as a good Osmanlı Jew. It is our main focus, of course, but it is very important to do separate things apart. But we always support each other when we do those. For example, through the years, I've been writing a lot of film music and collaborating with Hans Zimmer on several movies. But even when I did that, you know, Hans has become a big fan of as a good Osmanlı Jew, has been to our concerts, performances, and you know, Hyanki has been playing solo concerts. Sometimes he would play Rachmaninoff concerto he played last year. And we always try to go to each other's performances, of course. And we're both very prolific composers, together for Igor Osmanlı Jew and also separately. We both publish music for Universal Edition, and we are very lucky to have commissioned works, sometimes for ensembles outside of us, individually, and sometimes together, like for the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. We're going to write a new work which will be performed as part of our show, but it's a commissioned work by them. And actually the New York Philharmonic also commissioned a work for us, which we premiered New Year's Eve. So even though we have a lot of separate projects, we always, somehow it always ends up being tied up together. We both love the media of film and the movies. I had a directing debut of a film called Noseland, a classical music, a funny classical music documentary with John Malkovich and Roger Moore in it. And of course, Hyanki Jew is also in it. And together we are thinking of many new ideas for TV, for a possible TV show in the future. So that's very, very exciting. So our work is very intertwined.
You see the hands, because there's a thing in your bio. Okay, so you're playing Rachmaninoff. I mean, you say,
well, my hands are smaller than Rachmaninoff's. I mean, Rachmaninoff had huge hands, and there's no way I can span a lot of the chords that he writes.
I haven't met too many pianists who have hands that big. You know, he must have left some outs somewhere there. Well, I could talk to you all day, because I've been. I got to say, I do a lot of interviews. It's rare for me to be this excited to meet people. Because
thank you very much,
what you're doing is, I don't know, I admire it. I'm glad that people get that you're really fine musicians. I can't believe you both sing so well. You can dance. What don't you guys do? See, there you go. What don't you guys do? But if you're making it fun for people who love classical music, if you're making it fun for people who don't know what it is yet, and they know all of a sudden it's going to be cool, congratulations and thank you.
Well,
thank you so much.
Shall I play two notes? Shall we have a little outro?
Yeah, it would be great.
Yeah, I'll play a couple of notes while he will be motivational. He'll do some motivational speaking, right?
I
think that would be a good idea. Encouraging people to come to a concert. Are you ready?
No pressure there.
Okay.
So what day is it today? It's Wednesday, and it's the last day of the month. So there's no point doing anything else this month except coming to our show, because it's the last day of the month, April 30th, tonight. You still have time to completely change your schedule, get a babysitter, have a microwave dinner, even though microwaves are very unhealthy for you, and come to our show, A Little Nightmare Music, at the Mesa Performing Arts Center at 7:30 p.m. Yes, you have a few hours. Bring your date, bring your wife, bring your husband, bring your kids, bring your parents, bring yourself, bring your dog.